And today we're going to look at a story, a very well-known verse in the Bible, a very well-known story in the Bible, which is called the widow's offering and the widow's mite. And if you have your Bibles, it'll probably look like something like this. So last week, Stu looked at the verses above and a few more. In 2 weeks' time, Alan is going to be looking at Mark chapter 13. And then we just have these three or four verses in between. And that's really helpful in our Bibles, isn't it? To have the chapters and the verses when we talk about these things. It's really helpful. Helps us find out rather than the page number where we can go to and helps us tell us the story in these things. I don't know about you, but I was always brought up on the widow's mite being very like sacrificial giving. Giving to the Lord, giving more and above, giving to Jesus. Almost this widow kind of outgiving other people as well, and how we can give in all circumstances and all seasons. And maybe I've even preached on that, and I was going to preach on that this week until I started reading into it a bit more and looked at the context a little bit more than I suppose normal in that sense. And so if you've been really encouraged by this widow's mite, which most of us have, about giving even when we feel nothing, giving when we have not much to offer, sacrificial giving, then still keep that, still believe that. There's many verses in the Bible that talk about that. But as I was looking into my kind of study or research this week, when I do my preparation, when I look, I quite like to look at what other people say, or people I don't necessarily agree with everything, and I quite like to see what they have to say. People who love the word, love the gospel, love Jesus, but maybe longer in their experience with me or see things differently. And there's a video here let me show you the first video. Let me show you the first video of this. I should have done this at the start, sorry.
Of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury has cast in all the living that she had.
That's a good portrayal of what that could have looked like. And then we had the kid's story at the start, which helped as well. But then this is a guy called John MacArthur. He died actually about 2 months ago. He's an excellent Bible teacher. He's been a Bible teacher in America for a long time. I disagree with him on quite a few things, and I think he's quite harsh, and he might come across a bit harsh now in this, but he talks quite a lot about what we heard last week about false teachers, and things like that in America with the American gospel and prosperity gospel. He speaks and he names and shames quite a lot of people in that. So there's lots of things that I would disagree with him on it. But as I was looking into this and seeing his viewpoint on this and seeing the stories, and he's got a sermon and a book on this and some other people, it's kind of changed my viewpoint of this story as well. So watch this one and then I'll go through the text.
You know, the prosperity gospel is more morally reprehensible than a Las Vegas casino because it masquerades as religion. They take your money in Las Vegas, but you expect it. Because it's run by the mafia. You don't expect the people that represent God to do the same thing. And when Jesus saw the widow put her last mite into the temple offering, he said, this temple is going to come down. Not one stone will be left on another. I don't know what you have been taught about that story of the widow giving her last 2 cents. That was not an example of Christian giving. God doesn't expect you to give your last 2 cents and go home and die. That's what happens to a widow who is suckered by a religion of works. She was trying to buy with her last 2 cents her way into the kingdom because that's what she'd been taught. And Jesus says any system that sucks people down to the place where they have nothing left in a false hope is coming down. And it did.
Now that's a bit different, isn't it? And I've stayed on this all week, and I've kind of wanted to kind of preach on what I've always believed, and what there's parts of it that, of course, is still true, but I don't think these verses are necessary about giving. So let me just pray. Yeah, Father, we just open our hearts to you right now. Lord, we want to know your truth, Lord, and if there's anything that I'm going to say, Lord, that's not true, and I've got it wrong, then let it fade away. But just open our hearts, Lord, to your truth and what that means, what it means to give to you sacrificially, but also what it means that you came to establish a new kingdom. Lord, that you saw the corruption that was going on and you did something about it. So Lord, let us open our hearts and our ears now to understand your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So like I said, in our Bibles, our verses and our chapters look like this, which is really helpful, but sometimes we think then they're different stories or they happen on different days and they occur in different events and different places, and then we can kind of think all of these are not connected. But actually, these three parts of this story are all connected, so think of them, they're happening in the same day. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take away the subtitles, I'm going to take away the verses and the chapters, and then read it as one story, and that'll help us kind of see what it's about. So watch this now. So these are exactly the same verses, okay? If you don't believe me, you can look in the Bible. But these are the same verses that are from there. But let me just read it as a story. Think of it as a story. Think of this. There are three different things, but think of it as the same day. This whole happened on the same day. So as he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." And Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent structures. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Okay, we ready? Let's go through this. So it says, as he taught. So we've been looking through the last few verses, few weeks. Jesus has been teaching. It's in his final week of his life before he dies and rises again. He's in Jerusalem. He's within the temples. He's teaching. He's already thrown over the money vendors. He's called Jerusalem a den of thieves. He's made a scene. There's a story about a rich young man, and he's talking to people. And so he's been teaching. He's been teaching all day. And this is almost the final part of his teaching to two people. And he says, and then, so he's teaching, but then see, it changes a little bit later. He'll teach, and then he'll sit down, and then he'll leave. But this is all the same story. He teaches, then he sits down, and then he leaves. And he says, Jesus said, watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. Stu spoke on this in more length last week, so check out that. But he's saying, watch out for the teachers of the law. Watch out for the Pharisees, the religious leaders, everyone, all the full-time leaders. He's basically, today's context, he's kind of saying, watch out for me. Watch out for the pastors, the elders. Watch out for the people who lead churches, who lead synagogues, who lead these religious establishments. He's saying, like, watch out for them, because they're bad guys. Like, they've created a culture, a system that is not good. And that's one reason I've come. Like, watch out for these. And where do you find them? You find them in the synagogues, in the temple. Yeah, you find them in the places of power, the places of authority, the place where God's word is being read out, the place where people would go to find God, to find truth. Sadly, Jesus is saying, like, there's dodgy guys there. Like, these people who are supposed to love you and guide you and share truth to you, like, watch out. Like, they're not good. Like, they're actually going against my word. They're corrupting people. They're abusing people. And he's saying, watch out. So this is what Jesus says about them. And then this is an example of what they do. It says, they devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished more severely. They devour widows. That's horrible, isn't it? Like, they devour widows' houses. And Jesus often said, and throughout the Bible, it talks about loving the widows, the foreigners, and the poor. Throughout the scripture, and he's saying, the people who are supposed to represent him, what do? They devour widows. Like, that's horrible, isn't it? And widows there were especially vulnerable, especially if they didn't have any more family around them. When there was not a man in the house, they were vulnerable. People could come in and take advantage of them. So God created a system to look after them, to be married into the family, to keep the family name, to keep the property, to the possessions. But if that didn't happen, like, they were on their own. And that was a very scared and strange place to be, a very kind of vulnerable place to be. And so when they saw maybe religious leaders, Pharisees or Sadducees come in, they must have thought, at least I'm safe now. These people are going to look after me. These are godly men. These are men who are going to look after me and my belongings and my situation. Like, at least I can trust these. And what does Jesus say about them? He says they devour the widows' houses. Like, that's horrific, isn't it? They go into the most vulnerable and clean them out. They take their money, their possessions, what they have, and they clean them out. And they give them false truths. Maybe they say, you've got all this money, you've got more than you need. Actually, give this to the temple. Like, give this to the temple and you'll be blessed. Or actually, we could do with this in our office. You don't really need it. Give it to us. We look after it and you'll be blessed in other ways. Your husband's not around now. He doesn't need all this. We'll take all this, sell it, and put it into the treasury. So give it to us. You can see where this is going, can't you? Like, they devour widows' houses. They take all that they can from the most vulnerable people. And Jesus, like, and in the Old Testament, this is completely wrong. This goes completely against God's heart. And Jesus is pointing them out with this. And he says, like, they're going to be punished more severely, like God sees that. So that happens, and then it says this. And then Jesus sat down. So he said that. Imagine him speaking that to the, and then he sat down, or maybe he's walked over, and he sat down, and now he's watching. Just happened after that. And Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and watched the crowd put in their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put. Like, what is this place? This is was called the women's court, or the women's courtyard, which again shows you the corruption of the leaders there and how they separated the system as well, because women couldn't go into all parts of the temple, but men could go into the women's courtyard. They were allowed to go there where women weren't allowed to go into it. And the women's courtyard was also a bit of a thoroughfare. It was a bit more open. People used it to walk to different places. And so lots of people. This was Passover. Think of Christmas now. Think of Sainsbury's at Christmas time, right? Think of Passover in Jerusalem. This is a really busy time. People are flocking to Jerusalem, to the temple. And the women's courtyard was one of the busiest places. So because it was one of the busiest places, that's where they put the money offerings. Like, that's where they put it. They put it in one of the busiest places for not just the men to give, but for the women to give, and for people visiting the city, for people doing Passover. Everyone could give. That was the most busiest place. And it says then, it says, and Jesus watched the crowd put in their money into the temple treasury. And like I said, I don't really want to talk about giving right now on this top, which some of you might think, I'm glad about that. I'm quite happy. But just for us to realize, like, Jesus watches what we do with his money. Like, don't the money you have in your bank account, the money you spent this week, the money that you give to certain things and don't give to certain things, like, Jesus, he knows, he's watching. And he gives all of us our money. Like, every gift, every good gift is a gift from God, amen? And so if money can be used for good, then it's a gift for him. And so, like, I might not know what you do with your money, and it's not my business, but Jesus watches you. Like, Jesus watches me and what I do with my money. And am I honoring him with my money? Am I investing into his kingdom? Am I spending it well with my family? Am I being selfish? Am I being prideful? Am I wasteful? Am I abusing this? Like, Jesus watches what we do with our money. And it's part of one of our devotions, and I'll just read this and then just leave this part. But one of our devotions that we see, which is biblical, throughout the Old and New Testament, is to be devoted to financial giving. And it says this, and you can get these at the back. It says, we encourage financial giving because we believe it's a biblical principle, a way to love God and not love money, and a way for your money to be used to extend God's kingdom. We very much appreciate people's generosity, as most people give the church 10% of their income on a monthly basis with gift aid via standing order. Some people give more, some give less, some give cash. Some people's situations change, which may affect their giving, and people speak to us if they need financial help themselves and not give. We will occasionally have special offerings to help a specific situation or mission, and then we encourage people to seek God and what to give. So we give joyfully. We have a AGM once a year, a financial report, which includes a financial update so people can see how funds are being used, get an update, pray for ministries, and ask questions. And we had that last Sunday. Our money currently goes to employing staff, church building running costs, supplying our church ministries, and supporting missions elsewhere. Please speak to our treasurer if you'd like to receive our most recent financial report. So if you'd like to know more, then there's one out the back there. But then also it says then, many rich people threw in large amounts. So he's watching, he's seeing what people are doing, it's very busy, and many rich people there threw in large amounts. How did Jesus know that? Well, the system they created, which was, fair play, the Superbook video was very good for that, the children's video. It had these things which they called trumpets, these brass trumpets, and there was 13 of them. And they were set up to give to different things. And there was good intention. Don't worry, for instance, if you want to give to a mission fund, if you want to give to Samaritan's Purse, if you want to give to the children's ministry, if you want to give to youth ministry, it's almost like you had options of where you could put your money in then to support those things. Maybe you had, there was general ones, but then there was optional ones as well for you to invest in that. And they were set up there, they were brass, and they were like this trumpet shape to kind of to hold a lot of money in that sense, and to have it. But then what happens when metal hits metal? It makes a noise, doesn't it? It makes a noise. And they didn't have notes, they didn't have checks, they didn't have like a credit card system back then. It was all metal on metal. And the noise the best noise that I think of when I do it, I would think of like when we go to Mumbles Pier, the two penny machines. Has anyone ever heard the two penny machines? When you're doing these two penny machines and you're thinking, what am I doing with my life right now? I'm just doing put to it. And then all of a sudden, someone over there, Barbara in the corner, just hit jackpot. She's just got 36 pence in two pennies. And everyone's like, wow. Like that noise of just kind of, wow, they've hit the jackpot. And so what Jesus is seeing, he's not just seeing it. You don't just see these maybe rich people with well clothes or servants around them or big money bags. Like you can hear the noise. Like you hear the noise of that echoing in the temple, almost to the point where people, or you're talking with your friends and all of a sudden you hear this noise and everyone's just looking over and you can see this certain person putting in loads of money. And it's almost created like a competition in that sense. Who can make the most noise? Who can put in the most? And this system that was created for good can now be abused. It can be about pride. It can be about making more noise. And where Jesus talks about doing in discretion, which is a verse I'll show, like this is the opposite. This is public. This is loud. And also, if I go in there and load a bucket load of coins into that and kind of like, yeah, that's my day job. And then Victor's got like a 5 pence after me. He's not going to feel great about himself, is he? If I'm doing that and then he's doing that straight after me, then there's going to feel insecurity and they think, oh, that person's better than me. That person's going to be more loved than me. That person's going to be more blessed than me because this is the system, the culture that had been created. And so Jesus sees that and he sees rich people throw in large amounts. And then he says this, but a poor widow, not just a widow, because some people, like I said, widows, maybe they had a good family system around them. Maybe they were looked after. Maybe they still held on to their money. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins with only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. And so where you had these maybe big noises of money, and like people looking around and seeing people in fancy dress, clothes, and like hearing the amounts of that's going on, this poor widow puts in two tiny coins. And we got to a stage now, we like money right now, I don't hold much cash. So if there's anything less than a 20p coin, like you just leave it on the floor, don't you? It's almost like, oh, I don't even want my pocket. It's kind of worthless, it's pointless. And this widow, that's all she's got. It's almost like pointless. Like, that's all she has. Like, it would have made no noise at all in that sense. You'd have to, like, kind of add amazing here and here. And that's, she puts these two coins in. And she doesn't even put in one and keep the other. She puts in these two coins, and that's all she has. And it says that the poor widow, and Jesus says also the poor widow. And that word poor widow could be said in different ways, couldn't it? It could be said, oh, that poor widow. She obviously hasn't got any money. She obviously, you can see visibly, she's rough. She doesn't have any good clothing. She hasn't eaten for a while. She hasn't got much money. That widow is very poor. She hasn't got any money, any finance. You can see this woman is poor. So you could say it like that, couldn't you? She's poor. She hasn't got anything. Or you could say it, oh, that poor woman. Like that poor woman. She's literally got nothing. And this system has taught her that she still needs to give. Like that poor woman. Like, how on earth are they allowing her to come in and give and then walk away? Like, that poor woman, why isn't anyone looking after her? Why hasn't anyone seen her? Why hasn't anyone, like, kind of put their arms around her, give her food and clothing and looked after her? Like, that poor woman. And that changes the story, doesn't it? And I'll be honest, I don't really know which one is true. Okay? There's many most people actually, most godly people and myself, biblical people, would say this is about financial giving and sacrificial. And like I said, if that's true and if you want to believe that, and like I said, I believe that in other parts of the Bible, so I think you can. But I kind of see it more now as this poor woman that people haven't looked after and this system has failed her. And it's important to see what the text doesn't say. Okay? It's really important to see what the text doesn't say. Because this verse is also in Luke chapter 21. And if you want, you can open Luke 21. I am going to the verse. Because sometimes you look in the other Gospels and they give you more information. They give you more detail. They give you some more understanding. Jesus might say something else, so there might be more explanation. But if you look at Luke 21, it's exactly the same. Like, he doesn't give you any more detail. He doesn't give you any more information. Have a look, but it doesn't. So it's important to look at these verses and say, for us to see what it doesn't say. And maybe what we maybe thought it said, or maybe how we've applied it or kind of taken it. So let me just show you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that this widow knew Jesus. Okay? It doesn't say that this widow gave to Jesus. It doesn't say that she had ever heard Jesus. It doesn't say that she was one of Jesus' followers. It doesn't say anything about this widow and Jesus' relationship with her. It just said Jesus saw this poor widow. Okay? And of course, we can sacrificially give to Jesus. People who are poor can still sacrificially give to Jesus now as a result of the death and resurrection and with a biblical account. But this story doesn't say about her and Jesus. Okay? It doesn't say as well that Jesus saw her faith. Lots of the stories that you see, it says Jesus saw her faith or his faith, or he was amazed at their faith or their lack of faith. It doesn't say anything here about faith or about her faith. It doesn't say Jesus was impressed. It doesn't say like Jesus commended her. It doesn't say, oh, wow, guys, look at this lady. Like, isn't this amazing? He's telling you what's happening, but he doesn't give any further detail on her. It doesn't say that she is an example. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say she is an example in that. And it definitely doesn't say all widows should do this. Jesus doesn't say, right, this is a story for widows. Widows, you haven't got much money. This woman's given everything else. So all widows, you need to give everything else. But rich people can only give however much they want. Like, that would be abusive, wouldn't it? That would be abusive. All right, widows, you've got to give it everything, but rich people, you can give half. Like, that doesn't make sense, does it? And so it doesn't say that. What does it say? It says, this poor widow. It says, this poor widow. And it does say, like you said, she has given everything. And of course, we can use that right now. We can use that in our sacrificial giving. We can use that in worship. We can give that when we work this week. Of course we can do that. But we take that from other parts of the Bible as well. So we can do that. But Jesus, in this part, I don't think now from looking at it, is saying that. And you could say, all right then, well, Jesus is saying that. And what's he going to do about it? He doesn't go and talk to her. He doesn't go and say, oh no, take your money back. Or let me give you some food. He doesn't say anything like that. You could say, oh, Jesus doesn't do anything about it. He does. And this is what he does. It says, as Jesus was leaving the temple. So remember I said, he was teaching them all day. He taught them. And then he had a time when he sat down. And they were just watching. And he saw this situation happen. He'd already talked about the religious leaders devouring widows' houses, and he's almost saying, look guys, it's literally happening in front of our eyes. Like, this is happening in front of our eyes. And it's almost like he's seen that. This is my perspective on it. He's seen that and he's like, I can't be around here anymore. And he walks away and he leaves the temple. And he says this, and he said, and his disciples said to him, doing his disciples throughout the Gospels, they just don't get it, do they? His disciples, like, he's heard him preaching all day. He says out about the widow. And then his disciples, one of his disciples, thankfully he doesn't name him. But his disciples say this. His disciples said to him, look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent structures or buildings. Like, they just seen that, and as they were, Jesus, isn't this great? Like, isn't the temple amazing? Like, isn't Jerusalem awesome? Like, look at this. Like, this is amazing. And then Jesus, he says, he points to them, after all that's been through, he says, do you see all these great buildings? Replied Jesus. And he says, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. He's saying, this temple is coming down. Like, this is coming down. This is not pleasing me or my Father's heart, the Holy Spirit. This is coming down. The structure, the culture, the leaders that are in place, like, this is coming down. I'm taking this all down because this doesn't reflect my heart. And he dies, and he rises again, and he gives people their Holy Spirit, and the world has never been the same. And actually, Alan's going to be speaking on this in 2 weeks' time, where the walls literally come down. In AD 70, the walls of that Jerusalem literally come down. And you think of the widow. And as I'm talking about this, hopefully it stirred some thoughts, hopefully it stirred some emotions of what does this look. If you think of the widow, you could say to me, and I said as well, Well, actually, Matt, a few chapters ago, if you have a look in Mark 10, it talks about the rich young ruler. And it talks about Jesus said to him, give everything, didn't he? He literally said that. Give everything and follow me. But why did he say it to the rich young ruler? And he only said that to the rich young ruler. He didn't say that to everyone. He said it to the rich young ruler. Why did he say it to him? Because money was his God. Money was his heart. And so he went straight to the heart and spoke to him. And he wanted to kind of Jesus to be on the side. He wanted the money to be the main thing. But Jesus said, "All right, you really want to follow me? You really want to turn his light? I know where your treasure is. It's in your money. So give all that up and follow me." He did that, didn't he? I honestly don't believe. Think about this, right? If the widow came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Hand on my heart, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty confident he wouldn't say, "Give me your two mites." Would he? I don't think he would. I don't think Jesus would say, "Give me all your money," knowing that she had nothing. And think about this, right? Imagine the widow in this system. She's given money. She's gone back to her home now, which has got nothing. There's no food. There's no pastor looking after her. There's no kind of church or small group looking after her. There's no family. And this is all being kind of orchestrated by the religious leaders. They've kind of ruined her, and she's left to go home. Imagine the widow met the early church in Acts. Imagine how much her life would have changed. That would have been amazing, wouldn't it? Imagine she met Jesus. Imagine she was there when Jesus preached at Pentecost, and then the Holy Spirit came, and it says they gave up all their possessions. They didn't give it to the temple or kind of the. They gave it all to Jesus' kingdom, and they all looked after each other and loved one another. Imagine the widow in that situation. That would have been amazing. She might have said, "Oh, I've only got two mites." They'd be like, "Don't worry about it. Just come on. We got some food for you. We're going to look after you. Oh, you've only got those clothes. Guys, let's sort it out. Let's all help her out. You haven't eaten for days. Well, welcome. Oh, you sleep on the floor. No, not anymore. We're going to look after you." That's the heart of God, isn't it? That's the heart of God, to bring restoration, to bring care, to bring love into these most vulnerable people. Not to just have their money and take their money and for that to be the end of it. And so how do we look to apply this? I would say if you are not in a position to give, then don't give. If you're not in a position to give, then don't give. Receive. If you need to receive right now, then receive. If you're not in a position to give, don't give. We don't want you to give. We'd rather give to you and for you to receive. Yet, if you do want to give but don't have much, your gift is valuable. Jesus sees your gift. Some people might not have much money or much possessions, but they don't want to kind of be a sponge or take everything. So they do want to give something. And if that's the case, then great. Don't feel you need to compare yourself to others or compete yourself to others. Your gift is valuable. If you really want to give, then your gift is valuable. But if you are in a position where you can't give right now, then don't feel bad about that. Don't give, receive. And it might be a stage where you receive to a point where then you are more stable and then you want to give. Also, the warning, if we are exploiting anyone in any way, he will bring our lives down, won't he? If we are exploiting people ourselves right now as a church or as individuals when we're not around here, if we are exploiting people, he sees that. He sees that, and he will bring our lives down. He says, I'll deal with them. There's seriousness in that. And so if there's any exploitation on our behalf, overlook our lives. He doesn't look on that lightly. He'll bring that down. And Jesus is watching what we do with our spends all yasne, or our or his money. Like he sees that. He knows exactly where our money is going, if it's being used wisely, if it's being used to enjoy things from time to time, which he's absolutely fine with that. If he's using it for us to invest in his kingdom, into his church, or if we're just using it to invest into Sky Sports or kind of my life, my family. Like Jesus sees that. Like he sees that. And like I said, if you want to look at devoted, then grab on them. But God is looking at our heart and intention, not amount or approval. He's looking at our heart and our attention. He's looking at the inside. The only things that he can do is he can see the inside, our mind, our heart, our desires. He sees that. He's not looking at the noise that it makes or the approval that people think, oh, wow. Like he is looking at our heart and our intention. And this is what Jesus talks about elsewhere on giving. Matthew 6, 1 to 3. He says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, I don't know if he did this on purpose, he probably did, but do not announce it with trumpets. Or the 13 shaped as trumpets. Do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. I'm going to pray, and the guys are going to come and sing this song. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. Yeah, Father, this is our desire, Lord, to worship you and to honor you. Not just with our song right now or this next 5 minutes, we want to worship you and honor you with our lives. Lord, we want you to be happy with how we handle your money, Lord, the money that you've given us, all the things that we own, Lord, we want you to be happy with that. Lord, if you're not happy with it, then Holy Spirit, we want you to convict us. We want you to tell us if we need to do something different. But also, Lord, we don't want any false guilt as well. We want to be doing things that you don't tell us to do. Lord, if there's people in this church that are needy, Lord, please, Lord, if they're in need, if they're struggling, please, Lord, help them reach out to us so we can look after them and care for them and give to them. Help them be okay with that, Lord. And help us do that. Help us love them well. Oh, Lord, if money is not an issue right now, if we've got lots of it, Lord, then let us use it wisely, Lord. Show us how we can extend your kingdom and for you to be happy with what we have. So, Lord, whatever you want us to give to you, show us what you want, but show us it because of through the life, death, and resurrection that you freely gave your life for us. We have freely received so that we can freely give. Thank you, Lord, that you changed the system. Thank you, Lord, that you stepped in. You didn't allow those things to carry on. You changed situation, but help us follow you and help us not exploit others. In Jesus' name, amen.